This is Sean Kirker with Voices Live On and Voices of Sailing, and we are on a boat going to an island of Nantucket. I'm sitting next to here with a man that's been on the sea for quite some time, Hans. Say it again.
Hans Haupt.
Haupt. You've been sailing for a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, 50 years or so.
50 years or so.
Approximately, it doesn't matter anymore.
And where was the first place you remember sailing?
In Quiberon, France. And there is a equivalent of what we call the AAA. They call it the Touring Club de France, and they had sailing classes on the island. And my father wanted to learn how to fly. He's got two sons. He says, what the hell is he going to do with them when he's learning how to fly? He says, why don't you go and learn how to sail?
And how old were
you? Around. I was, I was 21. My brother was 20.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about right. And so we looked around and we saw some women, girls, and we thought that would be a good idea to learn how to sail.
To get them on the boat.
Well, you know.
But just to impress them. Just to be impressive.
Much we did with a girl that you want to talk about. So anyway.
So you have. Where are some of the more exotic places you've been sailing?
Mostly the Virgin Islands, the Keys, and San Juan Islands in Washington State, just south of Vancouver. And that was probably the most unique experience because you feel like you're sailing in the mountains, which is just a unique experience. You are, in effect, in the mountains, and you're at sea level, and so it looks like you're sailing in the mountains.
Now, I would expect, because of the Pacific, that the winds were pretty intense and the water was pretty cold up there.
Well, the winds were okay. We were there in July, late July. The water was 45 degrees, and my wife threatened me to divorce me if I'd go in the water. So I didn't go in the water.
Didn't go in the water.
No. But I was used to 45-degree water from the Baltic Sea when we were vacationing in Germany. And there the water's also 45 degrees. And you just go in there slowly and you get used to it.
Right. So you live in Indianapolis now, is that correct?
Yes, 50 years.
And you got connected with the sailing club on Geist Reservoir, the Indianapolis Sailing Club, how long ago?
About 50 years. Pretty much exactly 50 years.
Wow. And how long has the club been around?
The club's been around since 1955. I started sailing there in 1969, and I formally joined in 1978. Between 69 and 78, I was crewing for whoever wanted to crew, or with my father, sailing with my father, who had bought a sailboat in 1974. And so him and I sailed together, and we would alternate helmsman and crew.
So what was the boat you were sailing on?
It was an 18-foot sloop rig, run-of-the-mill sailboat called an Interlake. Same lines as a Star, hard shines, and low aspect ratio, which means it sails very well in low airs and has to give in high airs. So I'm now more of a low-air sailor, not because of that, because I'm getting older.
Have you had any tragedies happen when you've been out sailing?
Have I had any what?
Had any tragedies happen when you're...
Tragedies?
Yeah. Things go the wrong way.
Sailing?
Yeah.
Well, I had probably two that I can remember. Collisions at on the lake, and I was both times the wrong. I was in the wrong. And when you do that, you just have to go pay. It's just part of the course. So
nobody got hurt?
No, nobody got hurt. That's no, good. We take great pride at the sailing club that nobody gets hurt. Nobody has ever gotten hurt at the sailing club.
What are some of the more fond memories you have at the actual club itself and at the building?
Well, we have four or five major regattas during a season, and a season is roughly 6 months from, let's say, May 1st to the last weekend of October, which is roughly 6 months. And at the beginning, when I was younger, I'd go out no matter what the weather was like, whether there was no air or there was, at one time, people said there was a water spout behind us, which I find difficult to believe, but that's what they said. Nowadays, I don't sail in high airs anymore. I don't sail in low airs. I just want to have fun sailing. I call it slip sliding along. So you're asking what is the most fun experience? Probably when I was sailing and I was in good shape and I won the club championship twice. And that was probably the highlight of my sailing career. Not because I was winning, but when you're winning races, 50% of the credit goes to the crew. And in both cases, I had wonderful crew. And when I remember those moments, I mostly remember the interaction between the skipper and the crew, which has to be close to perfect to place well. And in one case, the crew and I rarely ever exchanged a word. We just did things. In the other case, the exchanges were always cordial. And in no case would I ever blame the crew for anything. That would be counterproductive always.
Right. So as far as the Fugawi, how many times have you been on it?
This is the third time. The first time was 2 years ago, and the weather was like 47 degrees. It was raining. At the start, it was we had good airs, and then right after the start, the air died, and we were sitting there. And when you're sitting there, there's absolutely nothing you can do. You're basically out of options. And so we turned on the engine, notified the race committee boat that we're no longer racing, and proceeded on to Nantucket. And on the way, the wind picked up, and we stopped the engine, started sailing again, but we did not finish. The whole experience was kind of rough because it was cold and rainy, and then no wind. It's kind of, the whole thing is kind of depressing. And last year, I'm trying to remember last year. I think we had pretty good, last year we actually had a good start, we had a good race, but we started a little bit early and were penalized 1 minute. And looking at the results, we came in fifth. We would have come in fifth anyway. We came in fifth a minute and 25 seconds behind the fourth place finisher. So last year was fun. It was just plain fun. This year, it's also fun, mostly because of the camaraderie, going around the first mark of the, the second mark of the race was tedious because we ran out of air. So did everybody else. So it was a mass of boats going around the mark all trying at the same time, which I call, excuse me, the language, it's called a clusterfuck. But now we have air picked up and we are in fairly good shape. So we're probably going to finish the race, and that's good. So, and plus, if you look around, the sky is nice blue with just a fuzz of a cloud everywhere, and the sun is reflecting on the water. There's nothing between us and the horizon. It's just gorgeous, and that is really what I like too, this solitude that goes along with sailing. If you only look for it, this is beautiful.
Is there any place in the world you'd love to go sailing you haven't been?
Well, a long time ago, a bunch of friends and I decided that it would be wonderful if we would circumnavigate. And we talked about it, and we did preliminary plans. And when it was all said and done, we said it was impossible because one of the prerequisites would be a divorce. And that was not part of the game plan. So no circumnavigation. It would be nice to do that, but it's not no longer necessary. I just like the slip sliding along, the solitude and serenity of sailing. That is really what keeps me going, even though I'm no longer as physically capable as I used to be.
So what do you
with age?
So what do you think of Bob and what he's doing for the veterans on this?
Oh, that's wonderful. That is absolutely enlightening. It's uplifting. It's what we should do. We should recognize these people, especially if they have given some of themselves for the cause of the United States, and there is no other ways but to say thank you, and you cannot say thank you enough. Personally, I'm anti-military, but I understand the need for it, and I admire people that find it in themselves to service a country in a military fashion. Being German, I have my own issues with the whole thing that has to do with shame. And I don't wish that to anybody.
Don't understand.
I wish there would be no need for it. I believe in humanity, not in humanity. I'm sorry.
I totally understand. Well, I appreciate your time, Hans. This was a great overview, and I'm looking forward to getting to Nantucket and us being able to celebrate together on the island with the veterans and with everybody else. Hopefully nobody had. Well, we know of one boat that had that called in. We don't know of any other ones. So hopefully
one boat already called.
We heard over the over the radio. We heard one that said they were giving up.
Well, yeah, well,
it'll be funny if they're the only ones that nobody, everybody else decided to stick with it, and then
things,
the wind picked
at
up.
At one point, you know, that's what you did 2 years ago. At one point, you said this at the time we thought it was 4 o'clock would be the deadline, and we didn't know it was 6 o'clock. In any case, we thought there was no way we were going to make it 4 o'clock, and we wanted to go to Nantucket, so we turned on the engine and notified the race committee that there's just no way. We're no longer racing. But we're going to Nantucket. So, yeah, it's a skipper's decision, and, you know, I'm certain he got an agreement with the crew that that's going to happen.
Right.
I mean, we decided that as a crew, as a totality, 2 years ago, that we're going to no longer race because it's just too tedious. When you're just bobbing along, it's no fun.
Right. All right, well, I appreciate your time, and that was a great overview. Thanks, Hans.
Oh, you're welcome.
Supported by Crown Haven Wealth Advisors and Smart Buddy Radio on WBC. And we're approaching Nantucket.